This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Don Gagne, and I'm a Detroit boy. And for more than 30 years, summertime for me has meant watching the Detroit Tigers play baseball. Tiger Stadium, the home of the Tigers since opening day of the year 1912, has been like a second home to me, and soon it will be gone. In late September, the Tigers will play their final game there. They move to a brand new stadium downtown next year. So it's one last season for one of America's all-time great ballparks. A trip to Tiger Stadium with my dad or my family or with friends is all about rituals. And it begins well before you enter the ballpark. First, there's the drive-in. And there's that moment when you get your first glimpse of the stadium lights through the trees of the neighborhood as you approach. And now we're right on the park. When you get to the Teamsters Hall, Jimmy Hoffa's old local, you know you're right on top of Tiger Stadium. And these guys will wave us in and try to get us to park here, but I have, for as long as I can remember, parked my car at Irene Sember's house. Irene lives two blocks from the ballpark, and she has lived in this house for 55 years. I don't know if she'd mind me telling you. She's 78 years old, and she gets my $5 to park every game. And for that, I get more than a good parking place. I'll tell you about that later. Hey, Irene.
Hi.
Should I leave the keys?
Leave the keys right in the car, huh?
Come on, bro, just get your peanuts here now. Don't forget them. What's a ball game without peanuts?
And here we are. We are standing at the corner of Michigan and Trumbull. And if you are a Detroit Tigers baseball fan, if you're a baseball fan, forget the Tigers. This is ground zero. This is Mecca. The stadium's tucked away in this neighborhood, and it's not until you literally get right on this corner that you get a view of the whole place. It suddenly just appears like a big white battleship or something. It's been renovated over the years. They've updated it and they've added sections. But right in the foreground here are the old Tiger offices. And one of my favorite things and one of my earliest memories of this park, on the side of those offices, in simple blue block letter neon, it says Tiger Stadium. And when you're standing right here on game day, it's magic. It's a magical place. So we're about halfway up this ramp, this cement ramp on the outside of the ballpark, heading to the upper deck. There's this, I remember when I couldn't see over this cement wall, that's the guardrail. And when you stand here and look out across Michigan Avenue, you really get a sense of how this ballpark is really part of a neighborhood. We're not surrounded by a sea of controlled parking as far as the eye can see. There are little lots, like Irene's, spatted here and there. Right across the street, there's this place, Eaton Detroit Spring Service Company. They make leaf springs, whatever those are. I guess cars used to have them. Maybe they still do. I should know. But when I was a kid, they used to have a neon sign, and I remember it from my first trip to the ballpark. I could barely see over this wall, but this neon was flashing. There was this dilapidated old car, and the sign said, "Limp in, leap out," even it would blink. Limp in, leap out. Limp in, leap out. And I guess you drive your car with the busted springs in the back and you go, you know, flying out the garage door in the front, leaping out, as the sign says. It still says limp in, leap out right there, but it's not a neon anymore. I hope that neon sign's in a museum somewhere. Next to it, we've got Maxie's Deli, a great delicatessen. There's a Chinese restaurant over here. Just off beyond that, you can see the Corktown neighborhood. Corktown is an old Irish neighborhood in Detroit, one of Detroit's oldest neighborhoods, with a lot of great old houses, turn-of-the-century houses, some built in the teens and 20s. People have been buying them and fixing them up, and many of them supplement their income by letting people park in their front yard. Just beyond those homes, traffic going past, we've got an ambulance and some police cars. We're definitely in a city here. Nothing antiseptic about this place. Beyond that, you can see the Ambassador Bridge, which is the suspension bridge which connects Detroit to Canada. And it's a great view from here. We'll go to section 425. Let's go to 425. It's a great upper deck reserved section. And we've got to take this little catwalk kind of out over the lower deck seats, and it'll deposit us in the upper deck. Straight across, you can see the outfield seats, and then you see the green, and you see the glowing green grass. In the midst of this very urban area, there's this huge expanse of green grass that just glows. It just glows. And you ask anybody, the first thing they remember about this park when they walk in is that first sight of the grass. There it is. Let's go have a seat. These are upper deck reserve and box seats.
Thank you.
And looks like we've got some good ones right here with a good view of the infield.
And now, here you come.
So the 1999 Tigers take the field against the Boston Red Sox. Nice that they're playing Boston, because Fenway is as old as Tiger Stadium. And it's always fun to see the Tigers in this old ballpark playing one of the old American League clubs. The Indians, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the White Sox. It just seems more like baseball. Got the first pitch of the game coming up. Strike. From this seat in the upper deck, we're so close to the action because the upper deck here is right on top of the lower deck. You're closer to the batter than the first baseman is to the batter. You're almost as close to the batter as the pitcher is to the batter. And in these upper deck seats, you can hear the ball when it hits the glove. You can hear the catcher giving the hitter a hard time. You can hear the umpire and the catcher discussing whether or not that ball actually hit the outside corner of the plate. So one of the nice things about having the job I have is you get to cover the occasional baseball game. You get to come and do a story on the new park or the old park. And if you come early for batting practice, you can go out on the field, you can watch these guys take their cuts. And this year, the Tigers are not a great ball club, but a couple of guys who are former great Tigers are on the coaching staff. The hitting coach this year is Alan Trammell, who spent all or part of 20 seasons, his entire career, at shortstop for the Tigers. He knows this stadium and all of its nooks and crannies as well or better than anybody. And he was nice enough to take us on the walk from the Tigers clubhouse through the tunnel to the dugout and out onto the field, out to his position.
As we come up the stairs here, again, it becomes a little bit more narrow. And this is one of the big things when opposing players from the other side or even the Tiger players, they start talking about Tiger Stadium, how small the dugouts. And of course, back in the old days, the players were smaller, so I'm sure that this wasn't all that small back in the days. But
not much headroom here.
No, not much headroom. And everybody in the course of the game, somewhere along the line, if there was some action going on and you try to get up to see a ball out in the outfield, pretty much every player that's played for the Tigers have hit their head on the top of the dugout. The bigger guys are going to do it a lot more often than the smaller guys, but this is really not a good view. As you can see, you can't see the base. You can see third base. You can't see first, and you can't see second. So you're really below field level, and so you have to get up to see, and as you would boom, you would bang your head. And a guy like Tony Clark, who's 6'8", I'm sure he's hit his head a number of times on there. You know about it, but in the heat of the battle and you react, it's there and bang, you bang your head on there.
Let's take us out then.
Take us out onto
the
fields. Well, as we, I think the first thing that I think of and I look at is the roof in right field. I think about 1971 as a youngster watching the All-Star game in 71. Reggie Jackson hit that transformer right where that box is up there. Kirk Gibson hit one, went into the lumber yard across the street. It was measured at 523 feet. But this is a completely enclosed double-deck stadium. And back in the 80s, especially in our heydays when we were playing well, this place was rocking, and the people would stomp their feet, and it would feel like the stadium was going to collapse and fall down. And fortunately, it didn't. But this was a home field advantage for us when we were playing well.
The Tiger center fielder number 21, Brian Hunter.
One of the nice things about coming out here to the bleachers, and we're in the lower deck bleachers in right field now, is there's plenty of room to spread out and talk to people. And if you come out here regularly, you almost always see somebody you know. And here's a couple of my old friends from the ballpark, John and Judy Davids. How you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing, Don?
Good.
Good to see you.
You're out here today with your kids?
Yep.
Yeah. They're yelling in the background. That's Dylan. He's 6. And Willie is 3. And Willie's name is Willie Mays. He's going to be a baseball fan, I think.
So there's room for these kids to just run around and play out here, too.
Yeah, that's what's nice about the bleachers. You know, there's 11,000 bleacher seats in Tiger Stadium, so there's always bleacher seats available. You could always come at the drop of a hat to a game and get seats.
What is it about this place to both of you guys that keeps you coming back and that just makes it a special place for you?
Well, when we were first dating, we came here a lot. It was about the only thing we could afford because it was cheaper than a movie. Right. And for me, it's just my family, more so than his, I think, we have a big tradition of baseball fans. My grandfather was an Italian immigrant and fell in love with the Yankees and used to take my dad here.
Because of DiMaggio?
Yeah, and they used to always sit in the upper deck bleachers, upper deck center field bleachers right behind the pole. So a lot of times when I'm here, I think about my grandfather who's been gone for a long time.
You know, the other thing that we really enjoyed at Tiger Stadium was because the field and the seats are at the same level, you can talk face-to-face with players. And over the years, we've gotten to talk to a lot of players. And every single game that George Brett played here for about 10 years, he would come out after taking BP and talk to us and tell jokes, and we'd share jokes. Because one day in about 1984 or so, a friend of ours named Bubbles saw George Brett running by out here during batting practice. And he had a real loud voice. He just yelled, "Hey, George, you want to hear a joke?" And Brett kind of surprised us all.
We were all shocked.
Turned around, ran over
started
the fence.
Running.
And we're like, "Oh, okay.
Uh-oh,
okay, Bubbles, you better have a good joke." And Brett comes up. He goes, "What do you got?" And Bubbles told him a couple jokes. Then George Brett told a couple jokes. And I told a joke or two. And we talked for quite a while. He signed a couple autographs. And everyone was gathering around to see George Brett. And he was this great guy. He left. The next day, he took batting practice. Did a little bit of running on the infield, then came running right back out, and we were standing by the fence again. So, you got any more jokes for us?
And attention, please. The new Boston pitcher is number 27, Kim Bruce.
So, check out the scene just to our right here. We've got this guy. He looks 40-something. He's got a little more gray hair than me. He's got his arm around his wife or girlfriend. His left hand, he's holding his baseball mitt, and it looks like it's got to be his Little League mitt. That mitt's been around a while. And you can see sticking out of the top of the mitt is this radio antenna. And he's sitting there with his best girl in the ballpark listening to Ernie Harwell call the game. Ernie Harwell is as much of an institution in this town as this stadium is. And life doesn't get any better than that, sitting in the outfield listening to Ernie Harwell call a baseball game.
He takes a curve low. Tigers on top, 9-2, eighth inning. Gross delivers, swing, and a miss by Encarnacion, 2-2.
It's the eighth inning. Tigers are winning. This has been a great night at the park. We've seen everything. We've seen back-to-back home runs. We've seen plays at the plate. We've seen stolen bases. We even had about a 15-minute rain delay just for a little variety. And the Tigers are winning, which is always a nice bonus. But I'll tell you, the fact that they're winning, it's almost inconsequential. It doesn't mean the game is any more fun or any less fun. And I don't know when that happened to me. I bring my 6-year-old daughter, Callie, to the games. And as we're coming through the turnstile, she says, "I hope the Tigers win today, Dad." And I'll go, "Oh, yeah, that's. I hope they do, too." Except it doesn't matter. You know, the game is out there, and win or lose. time spent in this ballpark is always time well spent. Hey, Irene, we saw a good one.
Well, that's good, I'm glad.
And we'll see you. See you next time.
Okay.
Stay warm in the meantime, okay?
Good night now.
Take care. Rain. I have to tell you one more story about Irene. It's a tradition in our house. My wife and I always go to the last game of the year at Tiger Stadium. And two seasons ago, for whatever reason, Lori couldn't come. So a friend of mine goes with me. And he always parks at Irene's. And he always brings his wife to the last game of the year as well. So he and I go, and we come out to get our car after the game. And Irene says, "Well, where are your ladies tonight? How come they didn't come?" And we explain that, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't make it. And Irene says, "Well, I got something for them." And she walks us over to the corner of her property. And she's got this gorgeous rose bush growing up the side of her fence. And she clips off a dozen roses. And she says, "Take that home to them. That'll make them not feel so bad about missing the game." And I don't know. The new stadium's going to be nice. I've had a look at it as they've been building it. But I don't think the parking lot attendant at the new ballpark is going to give me a dozen roses to take home to my wife at the end of the day. I don't know. But I'm going to miss that stuff. Our visit to Tiger Stadium was produced by Mark Schramm and Ned Wharton. Leanne Hansen returns next week. This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Don Gagne.